Luckily, you can warm up every morning with a belly laugh with Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. But hurry, Subway's new steak with caramelised onion relish sub will warm you up. But it's only around for a limited time at participating restaurants. So grab one today.
A very special guest is joining us in the studio. Has a single that we all love. Let's just drop the hook from it right now. It's Fallen.
But I can't help falling for you.
One of our favourite guests ever, Jess Mowboy. We love having you in the studio.
Always up and about.
So good.
And I was around.
But no, you're a very hard get. Oh, this was impossible to get you on the show.
No, but Jess, you're always happy and you always got great energy and you share it, you spread it wherever you go.
Thank you.
You translate it into music, like this new single Falling, which we love.
Yeah, no, look, it's been such a a whirlwind, and having Secret Daughter come back for the second time, like this year, it's pretty major, and got so much inspiration from the show and playing Billy Carter. And I just had this idea of writing a song for Billy and just kind of being in part of her world emotionally. And the song came up as part of, I guess, my experience with my partner, but also just integrating with Billy and Billy's world.
Can I ask you, because I guess we've all grown up thinking we could sing and we could write our own songs.
I can sing, I just can't write songs.
Right, sure.
Well, Fev, this was what I'm going to ask Jess. When do you sit in a room and you go, I'll write some lyrics, or do you start humming? Where do you start?
Yeah, it's funny because I think it really does come from a story. So whatever's kind of going on in your world, or, what happened that day or that morning. This song really kind of came about, I've been with my fella for, good 9-10 years.
Gee, and that's a good effort.
Yeah. That's ring on finger style.
I know, don't have that. Yeah. But <it's, laughs> wink, wink.
If that happens.
This song is like an intro to come on now, I've been waiting.
He's on the line now and we've got the big moment.
Breath. Nothing. It was really kind of purely, I guess, of that kind of situation. Yeah. And kind of, you want to strangle him, but, your love is just so pure and it's so connected. You're connected with this fella. So, that's what this song is about, Something about the way where you drive me up the wall, and there's something about the way it leaves me wanting more. It's such a conversation. It's like me
sounds
talking
like
with
I wrote
you
that
about
for Alex, really.
It does, actually.
And that's the thing, everyone kind of has that moment with their person, and this happened to be so pure, and when I put it down, it took me like half an hour, and with a producer that I'm a really good friend that I work with, and I was straight out of the studio. But it was one of those things where it was in the moment, it was real, it was really personal, and it just felt like with the time of music, or possibly where the music is going, but it was just personally for me, and I just felt I need to put this out. We need to, schedule this. This is, as whilst I was doing Secret Daughter and filming, halfway through the show, second season, I was writing the song. I was like, yep, it's got to be out now. How are we going to do this? When is it going to come out? And just kind of scheduling it that way. But it was
and
just in the moment.
How did he take that?
I did take that version home, and I kind of waited until, we made dinner, and then
couple of wine,
he's well fed,
couple of beers,
hangry.
Kind of sat him down. I was like, hey, Bubba wrote a song today, and this is always kind of like the intro to how I play music, or how I'm writing about our relationship. And so he was sitting on the couch, I was in the kitchen, played the song, he was listening to it, and he kind of stood up and he walked over, and all of a sudden we were like dancing, and then it was just really nice. But that, obviously kind of means that he loves it. Yeah. So.
I'm glad you stopped at the dance. Don't want to know what happened after
enough.
That.
That's enough.
You know what? We
don't want to have dessert.
And I know how we can get you out of this awkwardness, Jess. Why don't you actually perform the song for us live right now?
Yeah, let's do it then.
Let's do it. Let's hear this beautiful song.
I've never been happier for us to stop talking and start and start playing. That's just great. This is Fallen. Of course, it's out now. You can grab it on iTunes or on streaming services. Jessica Mowboy's brand new single, which we love, here at The Fox with Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Something about the way you drive me up the wall, And there's something about the way it leaves me wanting more. Oh my, I've been that girl who has to play it safe. So I try to find the reasons I should walk away. Cause I don't wanna want you like I do. But I can't help falling for you. Ooh, ooh, hey. Yeah, I can't help falling for you. Ooh, ooh, hey. Never thought that I would be the one to say, yeah, that I was kinda thinking maybe you could stay. Oh my, I've been that girl who has to play it safe. So I try to find the reasons I should walk away. Cause I don't wanna want you like I do. But I can't help falling for you. Ooh, ooh, hey. Yeah, I can't help falling for you. Ooh, ooh, hey. I try to find the reasons I should walk away. Cause I don't wanna want you like I do. But I can't help falling for you.
Said those lyrics, he can connect with those lyrics with Tim and Alex. Is it about the way you drive Alex up the wall, Fev? Or?
Oh, no. How would I drive Alex up the wall? I am.
I was laughing. How could Byron ask you that question?
That
was outrageous.
How good was that song? No wonder Jess and the boy didn't have dessert. Dancing all the way down the hallway.
Oh, look out.
A very personal from Jess. A beautiful single as well. It's available on iTunes and streaming services.
Yeah, not just Fallen, but stay tuned for season 2 of The Secret Daughter on Channel 7. Boom! Yeah. Boom, boom!
Hang on, I just realised I'm in the studio with 3 actors.
We're all actors.
Yes.
Well, yes. Oh, you're right.
I was on Neighbours for a very short time.
He was on for 1 episode.
I was on for 1 episode.
I was on for 3 months. Oh, no, Jess, you'll hear me. I'm playing Brooke Butler. I work him up to his massive moment. Here we go.
Just give me a massage and a wax.
We need an honest critique from him just for his development. Here we go.
You and Dad are doing a really good job at this co-parenting thing.
Oh, I'm glad you think that. Because on that note, while you're here...
Did you really have to wax everything?
Well, think of how aerodynamic you'll be on the footy field. These footy players.
Oh, I like that. That was intense.
You know what, Jess? You're lucky you just finished filming season two of Secret Daughter, because I might have been a chance.
You know, there was a sigh in there. You can actually, you know, even without, you know, seeing it, you know, visually, physically, like you can really hear that intensity of, you know, the feeling.
Yeah,
I felt
struggle.
It.
Thank you.
It was a struggle.
Struggle.
Oh, and they're high five.
That's
yeah.
Hey, Byron, play a song, bro.
Fifi, Dave, Fev, and Byron.
Fev, I know that you over your holidays were ingratiated again with one of your favourite families. They're like your family, in terms of you feel that close to them.
The
K's, the Kardashians. Bali had back-to-back repeats of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and Fev's all across it.
It was like on 24/7.
Big in Bali.
Yeah.
I didn't turn the television on holiday, so I missed all of this, but I'm glad that you were all across, or you were
all
definitely Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And I feel like, you know, when you're not part of a family, but you're on the periphery like I am.
Right.
Because I've met Kim, I've met Chloe, whatever. Oh. I met Courtney too, actually. But I don't feel like they were necessarily going to listen to me. But they, you know, when you're watching, you can see it unfold. Mm. And now Blac Chyna is doing what everybody thought she'd do when they let her into that family. She's about to unleash all their secrets.
Mm.
So she's decided revenge against Rob. They've now broken up. He did that weird, very inappropriate thing of uploading photos of her that he should never have uploaded.
Yes,
I wonder if he'll feel the wrath of the law, because that's essentially revenge porn.
Yeah. Well, she's playing a very dangerous game. They're pretty powerful.
They are powerful, aren't they? And she's going for them. And I think because they never accepted her, and they were very clear about that. They tried to fight her taking the Kardashian name if she and Rob got married. And now she said she's going to release a hoard of secrets that could irreparably damage the Kardashian brand.
Jeez.
They underestimated her.
I don't know if that's a threat, because most of the stuff they put on the TVs, there's not many secrets.
There's
not much left.
I mean,
they do a lot. They're very personal. I reckon that's why people go, oh, the Kardashians. But it is interesting, because they do go deep into personal stuff and they talk about it, and it's bloody gets me.
I guess when you've released or had your sex tape viewed by billions of people, what else have you got, actually?
Yeah.
Actually, if you were Kim right now, you'd go, Blac Chyna, have you seen this? Are you familiar with a guy called Ray J?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
It's only a month since the horrific tragedy at the Grenfell Tower in London, where the tower burnt down and many, many lives were taken. And a few notices have gone up at the site over the last 24 hours. And one of them says, "Dear visitors, please be aware what you see is the site of great loss, the loss of our family, friends and loved ones. Please act with respect. And if you need to take a photograph, please hold our loss in your mind." And then in brackets, "please no selfies." And, you know, reading that would be very sobering for a lot of people, because with the way the world is evolving and social media and the selfies, I mean, there were stats the other day about selfies, that there are a billion selfies taken across the world every day. I mean, it's fascinating that is now a thing. That is what we do. And whenever whatever's happening, and I'm guilty of it myself. You're cutting the birthday cake for your dad's birthday. Oh, everyone, look at the camera. You're traveling.
You turn around and say the birthday cake and the candle. Don't sing happy birthday yet. Let's
get
a
video.
Quick
photo. Not yet. Yeah.
But I think that's the day and age of where we're at, and how young. I know I didn't have a phone until I was 17 or 18, and now you've got young kids playing iPads and phones. And I think that's just the way the world's going. And you know, we're speaking about the Grenfell Tower, but you look at places like Twin Towers, where a lot of people. People go there and get photos.
Well, that's the thing.
It's a thing.
Dark tourism is actual, and that's been around for a long time.
Yep.
That's everybody, you know, and I know I've myself been to Auschwitz and Dachau, and you go there and you experience it. So that's going to the site of tragedy
William was in Poland yesterday, and they showed all the shoes of the people that had perished in it, but people taking photos.
Well, the interesting thing is, because I went to Dachau in 2009 and selfies weren't around then, and I didn't, you know, we took a couple couple of photos, and even now I think, gosh, maybe that was the wrong thing to do. Because this is really pertinent. I only did this a couple of weeks ago. And now that I went reading this note that was put up at the Grenfell Towers, it made me think, oh, we do need, we're becoming so desensitized. We need to be present in that moment and realize what we're doing. Because only last week I was in Bali and I was in Kuta and it was quite late at night. We'd just been at the boardwalk. There's like a shopping plaza. And we'd been there and we were leaving. It was about 8 o'clock, walking through the streets, and we wanted to see the site of the Sari nightclub to pay respects to all the Australians and Indonesians and people from all over the world that lost their lives. Now, I, at this stage, had thongs on. I was walking the streets. I had Trixie on my hip and I was following my friend who was walking in front of me and he was trying to find it for us.
Phil.
And when we eventually got there, we had that moment and then we said, oh, let's get a photo in front of it. And just to, you know, commemorate the, wow, this is a site of loss, site of tragedy. But, you know, now I think back, I think, why did we get a photo though? Like what is that's that instinct you have to get photos. And then what's worse is that we took the photo and then we got into a, we were going to walk back to where we were staying, but I was exhausted. We got in the taxi and I was looking at the photo and there were four of us in the photo. And I was smiling and I looked and I went, what am I doing?
Well, you're not thinking about
well,
that.
Well, I wasn't thinking, yeah. Byron, and that's sort of the point I'm making.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking in that moment.
And I actually wish that I went because I didn't go. I didn't want to go to see it because I was there when the bombings happened.
Of course.
And I just felt, I don't know, even when I was walking, I felt a bit eerie. I just didn't want to go. I just didn't want to bring back the memories. But now that you've just brought, I actually wish that I went. And got a photo.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't know. I feel a bit differently because in that moment, there were other people taking photos. And I think you get very caught up in being a tourist and capturing things. And I was here. I want to remember this moment. And it was more just looking at the photo of myself smiling. And I wish I could go back to that moment because my brain was in selfie mode, smiling at the sign of great tragedy. And 131060, have you seen or were you taking insensitive photos or selfies at places where you shouldn't have? Have you had this moment? Maybe right now you're in the car going, actually, yeah, when I was at Twin Towers and I was so obsessed with getting the right angle and was my, you know, did I look good in that photo? We're losing ourselves sometimes to these, you know, I guess, urges when which can be quite insensitive.
There's already calls coming through on this. Well, I think it's going to be a bit of a check yourself moment, really, I think, on 131060.
And this is probably not check yourself, but it's to the extent even when you go to a concert and every single person has got their phones on, filming whoever's singing.
Yeah.
They're not actually
taking
in the moment. They're filming it and watching it through their iPhone, but they're not actually enjoying it. And when we went to Coldplay, Chris Martin told everyone, put your phones down. I don't want to see one phone or I'm not singing.
Wow.
And he sung a song and everyone was going nuts. They were actually enjoying the moment without having their phones up, because literally everyone had their phones
up. No, and that is true. We have to, we really do need to stop, put our phones away and live in the moment. But yeah, if you can focus on that, what you've seen that was really insensitive, and I bet the people didn't mean it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nikki, sexologist and relationship expert. As a sexologist, I get asked a lot of questions.
When you look at the internet, what images do you look at?
Are we doing it right? Am I normal?
Figuring out whether I want other people in my life to know about this.
There's a lack of permission and education out there.
It depends on the connection you have with people.
Where there's so much information that's needed that here's a platform where I can say all the things that I can't say on air.
So I have one leg that's suspended off the ground.
So this is why I've started Sex and Life. Download me. Dr. Nikki with Sex and Life, podcast1.com.au and the Podcast One app.
A note has gone up at the bottom of the base of the Grenfell Tower, that site of tragedy where so many people lost their lives only a month or so ago, requesting that visitors to the site refrain from taking selfies. And we were talking about this because we are in the world of this is the era of selfies and they're not going anywhere. I think it was only 2012. It was considered a fad. But no, selfies is now a thing. And dark tourism, it happens. And I think that a lot of us have done it. You know, Fev, you just said people go to Twin Towers in New York. I know I've been to Dachau in Germany. And you go to these sites. And dark tourism is a thing because when you go to these sites, you feel it. It grounds you. You take yourself back and you feel empathy. And I think that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
To remember the people who lost their lives. But then when it merges with the need to take a selfie, and I just said only last week I was at the site of the Sari nightclub in Kuta, and it was late at night, and I'm explaining it because I feel bad about it. We were as a group and we took a photo, and I in the taxi afterwards I looked at the photo and why did I feel the need for that photo? And unfortunately, I was tired and I just naturally smiled because I thought, oh, I smile for photos and it looks so inappropriate. And I now think that was insensitive.
And in a way, Boxy, most devastation in time becomes a tourist attraction.
Oh, of course it does. Mm. And I think there is, as I said, there's merit in that because I think it's good to go back and remember the people who fought for us, who lost their lives in wars. And I think it commemorates their memory. But then I think you can be insensitive too. And Tammy from Carnegie. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, guys.
Tammy, have you had an incident where you've seen somebody take an insensitive selfie, or was it you?
No, so I've seen someone. So I've been to quite a few of the concentration camps, and I was in Berlin, and they've got a really big Holocaust monument there that's a whole lot of statues.
Yes.
And it is that you want to go and you want to commemorate and you want to see these, places. But there were a whole lot of people there that were sort of climbing on these statues and taking selfies and smiling. And you sort of, I'm Jewish myself and I felt really uncomfortable. I was quite upset that this was happening at this place that was supposed to be remembering the millions of people that were killed in the Holocaust.
I know, Tammy. You know what? I've been to that particular site myself, and it as somebody who likes photography, they're beautiful. And I remember feeling that too. I remember thinking and you watch them take photos, and it is one of those things we have to remember. What are we there to commemorate, or are we there to get the best filter on
those
a photo of ourselves?
People hanging off the statues, they're not actually processing or thinking about it, don't you reckon? It's just not sinking in.
And it's the same sort of in Hawaii with Pearl Harbor.
Absolutely.
I see so many people get photos down there, and they've got a memorial and stuff there, and people get on the ships and they take photos. But so many people lost their lives that day, but it's strange.
Mm, Amanda in Cheltenham. Hi, Amanda.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, Amanda. We're talking in sensitive places to take a selfie.
Yeah, sadly, I was that person. not very proud of it, but a couple of years ago, I was on a girls' trip just in the States, and, never been there before, and as being the tourist I was driving down the freeway, and I see this five-car pile-up, full truck and cars upside down, turned, and, just being silly with my friends, taking photos, and we're like, let's get into selfies, America, how it is. And it was only until I saw it on the news later that I realised how insensitive it was, and you just don't think about it. Like, the whole traffic was built up for an hour and a half, and everyone was taking photos. So what do? You kind of just follow the trend, don't you?
And you do, Amanda. And that's why, don't beat yourself up about it, because now we have an instinct. I think we all, it's this new instinct we have when we see something noteworthy, grab your phone, get a photo. Yeah. And it is only after the fact you can sometimes think, oh, well, that was bad, poor judgment.
It's almost, it didn't happen unless I've taken a picture or got myself in a picture. It's almost like it didn't happen in a weird way.
Yeah, 100%, Byron. When there's an accident on the road, I always slow down and have a look, and I don't know why I do it. But then remember with the guy in Bay Street, Brighton, that shot and killed someone the other couple of weeks ago. Well, I saw it on the project, and I was watching the TV because that's around the corner from where I live. And I said, I'm going to go down there.
Mm.
Just my instinct straight away was I wanted to go down there. And she's like, what are you thinking? Mm. Someone has a gun. You're not going anywhere near there. And then I thought, she's always right. But I'm like, but that instinct straight away was, I'm going to go down there. No.
Oh, Rose in Reservoir. Hi, Rose.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Rose. Have you been insensitive or seen someone?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was the same as you, Fifi. We were in Dachau in Germany. We were on a layover with flight attendants. And, we were just having a look and wanting to sort of take photos. And we just afterwards sort of realised just how insensitive it truly was. It felt really bad afterwards. So,
doesn't it, Rose? And it's because as a tourist, you're trying to, catalogue and capture the moments. And then when you look back at your photos, you go, whoa.
What was I thinking?
I was caring about, did you get me on the right angle? Were you was the camera looking up or my nose or down my nose? And you think, oh no, millions of people lost their lives at that site.
Now, Rose, did you say you're a flight attendant?
Just
to lighten this up a little bit, when you serve drinks, do you tip them back in when the...
Mate, it's so terrible. I actually couldn't believe what I was seeing. No, never done that, never seen that. Not for the company that I worked for, at least. So,
oh, okay.
Fev was just doing a little segment we call Profession Confessions there, just at the end there. Thank you very much.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
You often hear in 2017, you can buy anything. You can get whatever you want done. There's always someone to do it for you. Well, this is reaching a new height because in Tokyo, and I don't think this service is available here in Australia, you can, in fact, just rent someone to do what you need in your life, particularly your personal life. Now, this Tokyo company...
This is happening in Australia.
What do you mean?
You often hire people to do all
No,
your stuff.
I don't mean that, no. I mean, how's this? This company can find out if your spouse is cheating and break up their affair. Not by the usual. So think about this: if you know your partner's cheating and having an affair, one, you can confront them, and
which would be normal, and that would be the right way to do it.
Or you can be really sneaky and break them up. So break up the affair in a covert way. So what the idea is, I'll make it really simple: you go to this company and you say, "Hey, my partner's cheating," and they say, "Right, well, we're going to get an actor to pretend to be their friend, get to know them, buddy up to them. Maybe they'll suddenly appear at the gym and start talking to your husband and having a chat with him." And then they psychologically get into his brain and make him break up with the girl he's cheating on.
This is all instead of just chatting to the person and having an open conversation.
It's essentially renting someone. You're renting somebody and then you tell them what to do. So this company have actors. You can pick whatever age you want them to be.
So this is like, I'll give you an example, Boxy.
Yeah.
So we're married.
Yes.
Weird.
I'm cheating on you with Byron.
Yep.
Okay.
You get Dave to buddy up with Byron, so Byron breaks up with me so we can be happy.
Exactly. That's it. So.
That makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Byron. I'm not talking about a really healthy, functioning relationship. I'm talking about one of those relationships where you want to... It's one of those relationships where you want to pretend everything's okay.
Great. Excellent.
I mean, if your partner's cheating, there's a fair chance the first thing you should do is maybe leave them. I don't know. Go to a divorce.
She's wasting her own, or him or her is wasting their own money to get her husband or wife back. It's strange.
I love it. But I love it. It is essentially renting somebody. So you sit down with the actor and you say, okay, well, this is his hobbies. He goes to the gym. He's a Quentin Tarantino fan. Talk about those movies. He'll love that. Oh. So they insert themselves in that person's life. And I've just given that example of a cheating husband. There could be heaps of examples of
people.
What
if the actor falls in love with the hiree?
You know what?
And they end up together.
And that is a movie, my friend. I'm serious. Richard Gere, Julia Roberts. I see it. That's a great idea.
Or freshen the actors, some more contemporary ones.
Sorry, I just thought Pretty Woman. That just popped into my mind.
They're in your genre.
But, you know, and mind you, this is quite expensive, and it might be a rich couple's problem solving service only because it will cost you about $4,000 US, which is what Australian double,
about
I guess.
$650.
Yeah, so it's quite expensive, and you hire them for 30 days. Oof. So they, for 30 days, have their mission is to infiltrate that person's life.
Is it money
elaborate
back? Money back if they don't succeed?
No, I guess not. I don't know. I'll go. It's a Tokyo firm. I'll go into the T's and C's.
It'd have to be. Because if I was hired, you'd be like, oh, well, just didn't get
You're
the job
right,
done
actually.
And take the money.
Or I reckon it'd be a high risk. I think the risk would all be yours. I don't imagine that the actors, at the end
half
of it, you
back,
say you're a bad actor.
You have to give half
I don't think
back.
You're going to get Brad Pitt doing it for you. Like, I think it's going to be an actor with maybe subpar skills.
Sure. If Brad Pitt did it, he'd end up with everyone.
Do you know what I love, though, is that this is very elaborate way of breaking up a couple. Mm. And I don't know if there's anyone out there that's prepared to come up with an easier way, or maybe they're in the act right now of trying to break up a couple. Like it's.
Ooh, I like that, Boxy.
Well, I know. Look, it's not nice, and I'm not saying there's anything good about this, but this is maybe more. This happens.
So call if you're trying to break up a couple at the moment.
What are your strategies? Now, this can be a few examples. This could be a parent who doesn't like the girl or boy her child is going out with. That they could be teenagers, and you could be trying to break them up. Maybe
okay.
Planting seeds here and there, or maybe you like a guy. and you're trying to break up his relationship.
So if you're best mates with someone and you're like, oh, I like his girlfriend, get someone to break them up and then you end up with that. Or just anyone.
Probably offer the voice disguiser for this one.
No voice disguiser. Let's go rogue.
You can be anonymous if you want because this is a tense one, a personal one.
Yeah. What are your strategies? Because this is a very elaborate strategy, but maybe you've got your own, I don't know. This is very voyeuristic.
Okay. We'll see how we go.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We're talking about this service. You can hire somebody in Tokyo. It's a firm. You go to them and you get them help to help you. You rent an actor to infiltrate your life somehow. So if you wanted to break up a couple, you get that person to go and befriend one of the members of that relationship and try to insert themselves in there. Maybe flirt with the guy or the girl. And
if they pitched that to Shark Tank, they'd all invest.
Can I say, though, I agree it's Machiavellian. It's sort of brilliant in the strategy. It's also pure evil. Like, this is
proper. Why wouldn't you just get counselling?
Horrible.
I reckon counselling business would be better than this.
No, but this is terrible.
Everyone wins. Someone makes money. The person gets their partner back.
Well, what you hope, though, Byron, you hope that the person that they're trying to get infiltrate is so strong and committed to their love for their partner that they won't fall for it.
It's like a test and they'd have to
pass it. It's almost like a test. Yeah. It's terrible. But you got us talking about maybe you, and we've offered the voice disguiser, are actively trying to break up a couple. And Amy from Cheltenham's called. Hi, Amy.
Good morning.
Amy, now you are going to share a tale of, is this you or somebody else who's trying to break people up?
I actually broke up two of my brother's relationships.
Amy! Okay, context. You obviously didn't like the girls that your brother was seeing.
Yeah, for various reasons. One of them was quite horrible to one of my family members. So I just turned very protective sister and threatened to make their lives hell if they continued to see my brother. And they both broke up with him.
Did your brother know you did this?
No. Oh. Not his name.
Amy.
Obviously, that's not Amy's name. She's not from Cheltenham.
Amy.
What's your brother's name?
Michael.
Ooh, Michael.
That's not really his
Amy,
name.
Amy, what?
Oh, you got me. You got me.
Ooh. Amy, I'm going to trust that Amy knew that they were horrible girls, because otherwise she's, denied her brother true love, possibly.
Oh, otherwise it's wildly inappropriate.
I mean, that's Natasha and Ari Warren. Hi, Natasha.
Hi, Fifi.
Natasha, well, now you sound like butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. You sound so sweet. So I'm
guessing always say that when people say your name really. Hi,
Fifi. No, but how lovely does Natasha sound?
She sounds great.
Are you saying suck up to me and I'll be particularly nice to you? Is that what you're trying to say? Maybe you're very manipulative, Natasha.
Maybe.
Now, have you tried to break somebody up?
Yes, I actually broke up my best friend's relationship.
What was the Natasha, what was the reason?
Well, I actually liked the guy she was seeing.
There you go. Told you.
Yeah.
Not so sweet after all, Fee.
No! What did you do?
Well, we all went away together, and the guy that she was seeing was quite protective and, he didn't want her to be with anyone else. And I found out some goss while we were away together that she was still talking to her ex-boyfriend. So I used that to my advantage and told him all the dirty little secrets I found, and he straight away moved on to me.
Oh, my God. Are you still with him?
No. He found someone else.
Are you friends with your friend?
Yeah, she doesn't know to this day.
Oh, why is everyone admitting this stuff on radio?
You know we've got a voice disguiser. We could have protected your anonymity.
That's a service that our producers should make you aware of.
Right, well, we're going to have to fire a producer now, Natasha, because your friendship's just ended.
Tash, was it?
Will it be Paddles? Who are we getting rid of?
Yeah, we need to get rid of producer Paddles. He's one of our new guys.
Hey, Tash, was it worth it in the end?
I wouldn't say so, because now I'm not even friends with the guy, so it all kind of turned back on me.
And Natasha, I'm glad you said that. And that is a sobering thought for anyone who's trying to think about doing this. There's Natasha's done it and it didn't work out well. And she regrets
it worked out okay, but then it ended not well. But she got what
it
she
was
wanted.
It was a temporary high when she got what she wanted, Bev.
How high was the high? Okay, Natalie, quick.
Natalie and Kilmore. Hi, Nat.
Hi.
Nat, what have you done?
So actually my current partner broke up me and my ex.
Wow. So hang on, Nat. You know that he was manipulative. What? How did he do it?
I found out afterwards.
But
we're getting married, so it worked.
It's never too late. I mean, we can break you up right now.
I don't know if it's a good idea to marry this guy.
What did you want to do, Natalie?
Basically, we were roommates, and he saw that my current partner wasn't. He was like, I can do a lot better than this guy. And he sort of put in little messages about, you know, he's just not as good at doing this. Or, and then he broke it up perfectly when I had my housewarming party, and he came into my housewarming party and he made friends with all my friends. Oh. He made really good buddies with my best mate. And unfortunately, my current boyfriend didn't live up to that at all. And didn't do very well.
He's playing the game well.
Yeah, but no,
he played the game
that.
Very well.
I now condone your marriage because...
Oh, good.
No, that's just sportsmanship. He hasn't done anything deceitful. He hasn't been lying. What he's done is he's just given it a red hot go himself.
Well, he's brought his A game. Yeah. He brought his A game and he's lived up to it and he's nailed it. And just on a quick other note, how good are the Kilmore pies at the bakery? Are they good?
Pretty good. Yeah,
hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
I want to talk today about Mick Fanning. Yesterday, he was pulled from the waters over in Jeffreys Bay in South Africa, 2 years to the day that he smashed a shark in the nose, punched it.
He wanted revenge.
He did. He certainly did.
He goes, oh, they're back. You could smell him in the water.
They must. Do you know what's interesting, though, Fev? There's just a lot of talk and a lot of headlines about what are the chances it's happened again? Chances are very high, actually. I just want to make this point.
Yeah.
If you swim or surf in shark-infested waters, I don't think we should do... I don't think that should be a news story that this is unfathomable. It's happened again.
I know. I've been watching it all yesterday and everyone posting it, and people that I know in the industry are all surfers. Yeah. They love, oh, my God, wow, it's happened again. The ocean is where sharks live.
Mm.
So they're going to be around. Hence why I don't go into the ocean, because I'm scared of sharks. If you go in there, you're every chance to either get bitten or see one.
It's almost the same as Fev's on the radio and he just ordered another cheeseburger jaffle.
Wow.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Very likely.
Absolutely. Or with sharks.
Or a chicken and pesto jaffle. Humans
seen on land. I'm stunned. There's Fief walking around on terra firma.
No.
So there we go. Anyway. Just debunked the news.
Well,
and no offense, Mick. Don't get me wrong. We loved Mick.
We had him in here.
We did. He gave me a surfing lesson down at Bell's Beach.
You've mentioned that a lot over the years.
Well,
when was it?
When Mick Fanning in 2009, when Mick Fanning gives you a one-on-one surf lesson at Bell's Beach, I reckon you're allowed to mention that a few times.
Just a surfing lesson?
It was just a surfing lesson.
Oh, that's all right.
Got
weird.
Oh, well.
It got really weird.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We are off to Mount Buller after the show. We're going up there. We're broadcasting live from the top of the mountain tomorrow. One of our great sponsors, Mount Buller, and we're looking forward to heading up there. So we've got a certain amount of cars that we can only get in. So I'm driving, and Byron is coming along in my car, along with Nikki Markovics and Alex. So we're heading up there.
Yeah, don't forget your wife. She'll be in there too.
Shooksy will be there. And Dave was also going to be there, but he's quite ill, so I'm glad he's not in the car because he has gastro.
Oh, that you would have been stopping every half hour. Imagine once you start winding up the mountain.
So I thought to myself last night, because we all drove up last year and it was a bit chaotic, and there was one person that made it very uncomfortable, Byron Cook.
What?
So I thought I'd make up some Fev road rules.
For your car.
And if I don't like these rules, I'll just do a swap with someone else. I'll go in another car.
I'm not in this particular car. Why don't I be the independent judiciary? I'll tell you whether or not I think Fev's rules are appropriate.
I'm looking at your face. You're not going to be independent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, here we go. Rule one.
Mm-hmm.
No stopping at any bakeries.
Ooh.
You like to stop at a bakery?
No, I don't. I don't do cars.
I'm just surprised, though. Are you sure you want to commit to that rule?
No. I'm starting light and easy tomorrow, so I've got to ease
up. Well, that
suits me.
Mansfield Bakery is pretty amazing.
Yep. Only speak when spoken to.
Oh, come on. This is...
That's pretty good.
Insulting.
No. Think about it, Byron. In the studio, Fev, he's got all the buttons. He turns our mics on and off.
He fades me on
and off. Fev gets to pick when you get to talk in the car.
So you're sort of anchoring the car trip?
Yes.
Okay.
There will be no bulletproof coffees in the car.
Why not? It's just in its own flask.
They ruin the leather.
They ruin the leather, but it spills. We go over bump. It's quite curvy on the way up there. I don't want any.
I leave off my bulletproof coffee. It's just butter with oil.
Every time I eat or whatever I eat, you have to eat.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good one.
That's good. Not
how many drive-thrus can you go through on the way to Bulletproof? Yeah.
No bakeries, but nothing about KFC.
Look out, Hillsville. You'll Macca's.
You'll be sitting in the back.
Yeah, fair. Back seat. Very long legs.
Hang on, I'm 6'5".
You'll be sitting in the back.
Well, Nikki's about 5'2".
Well, she's not in the front either. She's not.
Yeah, Alex is in the front.
You can't take Alex out of the front, Byron. Mm.
You made some bliss balls last night. If your protein bliss balls come out, they'll be thrown out.
Oh, good. Yeah. Come on. These are my bliss balls. I worked hard on those. The raw disgusting. Cacao bliss balls.
I'll be choosing the music for the drive.
I love all of this. No arguments. So I'm not arguing with any of you.
You're going to play Daryl Braithwaite Horses on repeat for 3 hours.
No arguments. You must pay for petrol and all incidentals at the servo.
That's not happening.
And the final one, the final point on our trip to Mount Buller, road rules are you must answer to Greg.
They're the best road rules I've ever heard.
Car
pretty
swap.
Pretty easy to follow.
Car swap.
Can you put a little pro kit, like a camera in the car? Because I'd love to watch this trip.
You could sit in the car. I'll go with your mum and
I've
Trixie.
I've got another car. Don't worry, I'm good.
And fine. You can't drive it because you're not insured for it because anyway, you don't actually have a car. Well, so you need to come with one of us.
Push bike. Anyway, just one thing we should watch. I know last year at the snow, we had a couple of issues with Fev actually, including this incident. I just think when we're out on the ski fields, we need to be careful. Who could forget when Fev flattened a small child?
No, the kid flattened me.
The toboggan.
Watch out.
Little cut.
Oh,
you're right? Good.
Are you all right?
So we just
that
want to
really
watch
that. Hurt. He took my legs from underneath.
It hurt you.
And I went flying and didn't even hit the snow. I hit the pavement.
Actually, and also on tobogganing though, Fev, stay tuned tomorrow because there is a suggestion that later tonight there will be a nude toboggan. So find out tomorrow if Fev and Byron get nude on the slopes.
We will be.
How many more rules are there?
That Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up might make you laugh, but it's not going to warm you up. Luckily, Subway's new steak with caramelised onion relish sub will warm you up. Available for a limited time at participating restaurants.